Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is March the 2nd, 2024, Saturday. And I have the honor of having Nicole Powers on, TwoWitnesses.com. Is that your correct site?
WitnessSpeaks.com.
I'm sorry, WitnessSpeaks.com. Now, Nicole's a powerful Christian. She believes in Jesus Christ, and believe me, if you have the understanding this woman has about the power of prayer, you'd be doing it. And we're trying to explain in these radio shows that we're doing, that I'm doing with her. I did one Friday. It isn't up yet. I'll have it up because I had other business I had to take care of today. But I will have it up Sunday, tomorrow, day Saturday. I'll have this show and her Friday show. And her Friday show was outstanding. It explained who this Georgia prosecutor is trying to prosecute Donald Trump for election fraud. There wasn't an election fraud. His fraud in Georgia that he exposed. And Mike Pillows, Mike Lindell, spent a lot of money proving. And there is fraud in several states. MikePillow.com. I suggest that you go in there and buy pillows from him and buy his other products, sheets and quilts and other things. He's super reasonable. But he proved the election fraud, and his employees kicked in on the lawsuits to prove it around the country. They were doing all kinds of things. Anyway, a Georgia prosecutor is a criminal. Even Megyn Kelly. I never liked her because she attacked Trump from when he was running for president, first election, debates. She attacked him, Fox News. And the Israeli Mossad stooge, I forgot his name, attacked him. But Megyn Kelly is now even in his favor. And I'll have the interview where she's talking about this up tomorrow, Sunday, on 3-3, March the 3rd, 2024, along with this talk show. And the chalk show from Friday that Nicole did over reporting. Excellent reporting. But that woman, this Fannie Willis of Georgia, the prosecutor, is going to be indicted and disbarred before it's over with. Megyn Kelly's a former attorney, former Fox News reporter. And she's now on Donald Trump's side. Excellent video she did. With that said, Nicole, I welcome you to the show, and please give your report.
Yes, Stu. I have to go back, and I have to refresh my memory about the report that I given, and the fact that Donald Trump put in, his own report to the judge, McAfee's court, about an invoice receipt with dates and places where Fannie's boyfriend, Nathan Wade, went, and how much he built.
And now, Nathan Wade, real quick, Nathan Wade. Nathan Wade is her boyfriend, who's the assistant prosecutor in the Donald Trump case in Georgia, supposedly election fraud. Now, Nathan Wade was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars each month. The government gave him $24 million or something to prosecute Trump with. Now, she became boyfriend. They were both former judges, county, or not county, but city government prosecutor, or judges. And she hires him. And they're doing lavish vacations that you reported on yesterday on the radio show. All over the world, taking vacations up. She's having a sexual affair with her assistant and the whole bit. And she's a prosecutor.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And they're spending all this government money.
Working with the Biden administration. As I told you, they had someone connected to the Biden who was planning in her office to oversee all the things that she was doing. But there's also, within the report, I talked about Nathan Wade's visit to D.C. And he billed the district attorney. $70 an hour for all these meetings. And one of the things that caught my eye, Stu, was something labeled the meeting about Athens. And this is why I called you this morning, because now I'm hearing, everyone's hearing, about all these crimes by illegal migrants coming into Athens, and they are killing and harming people, and they're possibly doing other illegal activities. And I told you that I think this is one of the ways the deep state is operating in sanctuary cities to easily operate their rat lines, either drug, human trafficking, organ harvesting, whatever it is that they're into.
They're into all this stuff.
I mean, they have to have these people in certain places in the United States to do what they have to do. And mind you, listen, they have reports of a reporter going down to the border, and they interviewed all these migrants. And but it seems like they know where they need to be when they get here, too. So who's telling them where to go?
I know. They're transporting them in there.
Now, they have all these Biden t-shirts. They praise Biden. So what is Nathan Wade know about this?
Everything. I guarantee he's a criminal. He's a criminal like the Spanny Willis is a criminal. And they're both former judges. And they're prosecutors trying to prosecute Trump. Trump won the election in Georgia. He won the election in Arizona. He won the election in many, many, many states. And Mike Lindell, MikePillow.com, MikePillows.com, he proved it. And his employees kicked in on the lawsuits. They're investigated. And they've already proven it. And what happens? They're still prosecuting Trump, saying he lied, and he lied in Georgia, and he lied. And they're trying to take away all his properties up in New York. No, he frauded people. You gotta have a victim to have fraud. He didn't defraud anybody. Any loans he made on his properties, any loans he made, he paid them back to those insurance companies and banks. He didn't defraud anybody. You have to have a victim. Oh, New York Attorney General. Go ahead.
Who believes that Donald Trump, who is a global figure, whose business, in business, your name means everything. And once you are get marked down and being known as a fraud, you're done. No one wants to do business with someone who cheats. And I think Donald Trump knows that. He took a lot of careful time and care to cultivate who he is as a man. And I bet you he passed down these same principles to his children. So why would anybody ever want to believe that he would defraud anyone? It is baffling to me.
Let me tell you, he built those hotels in Atlantic City. He built one hotel. My former father-in-law, Leonard Mellon, the Jewish crime syndicate hog boss that was Meyer Lansky's bone angel-possessed punk, they have 200,000 fallen angels registered with the NSA. They call them aliens. They possess people. That was the agreement from 1952 to 2012, according to Otis Johnson, Super Spook. Now, they murdered those in 2017. He was working for General Flynn. I met him in prison. He was under protective custody, busting the Louisiana governor under Casey's orders. Still following Casey after Bush went over and stuck a needle in his head, causing cerebral hemorrhage as two goons were holding him down. All the doctors and nurses at Bethesda Hospital were murdered within 6 months. Car crash rover like they've done to me. Suicide gun to your back of your ear. They all died because Casey was saying everything. Because Otis was his assistant. He went over there. And the guy that was in jail in Denver with Otis Johnson in the same cell busted John Gotti because there was laundering money through Silverado savings. I've told this story before, and Ross Perot, then when I was in hiding from the FBI, trying to arrest me for supposedly terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver and Millman, it didn't happen. The whole bit. Ross Perot started a sting operation on Millman after Reagan was shot. Reagan was shot, and John Hinckley's brother had dinner with Neil Bush that evening. Daddy Bush was having lunch with Hinckley, who shot Reagan. Lunch that day at the vice president's house. That's how closely connected. Reagan thought the CIA was involved. So he contacted six people. One of them was Ross Perot because he was Office of Naval Intelligence, graduated from the Academy, but never served in the Navy. He designed software. He was an expert at this. That flies our nukes. I can't tell you how it's done. I know it's top secret. It changes from this code to that code and this code and that code within 60 minutes. Within 60 minutes. 1 minute. Not 60. 1 minute. 60 seconds. It changes back and forth. The enemy can't turn around and change the code and make it fly back and hit us with a nuke. I'm telling you what. My father was the vice president of Bendix. He was in charge of quality reassurance. He was in charge of quality reassurance, and he taught Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory inspectors on how to do his job before he retired. He had $92,000 a year retirement in 1992 while I'm locked up in prison. And they retired him. Hagee took over the company. And he had to settle for $82,000 a year because he went on vacation for an entire year. They paid him for an entire year to go on vacation. Kept depositing his account. Now, they built toys for the government. All the laboratories. Los Alamos, the one in California, the one in Georgia, or Kentucky. My father never told me. I said, at 16 years of age, I used to get this newsletter come in the mail. It's a fold out. 4-page, declassified about nukes, about satellites, all kinds of stuff. Declassified information they sent to the Bendix employees in Kansas City. The postman used to take the staple out of the damn thing, and he would read it. There's a guy across the street was an engineer for Bendix, and he would read it. Oh, they're both working at Bendix. And David Kramer is dead now, but his father and my father rode to work together on occasion. They would both drive separate on certain weeks or months, and for whatever reason. Other times, they rode together, paid each other. Here was the point. My father was a heavyweight. He was in charge of quality reassurance. He taught Department of Energy inspectors on how to do their job in 1991 or 1990, what before I got locked up. He spent 6 weeks down at Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory because the government wanted to reduce the staff from 300 to 150 employees and match Bendix because Bendix was doing their job because of my dad. My dad had been Air Force Intelligence. We'll get into all the details because I don't want to get killed and I don't want any of my what's left over that I never talked to them, so-called family, because they're scared to death of me being a whistleblower. They won't talk to me. I don't want to talk to them either. Here's the point. I asked my father about 15, 16 years of age, always picking the mail up out of the box and getting home from school. And I read that newsletter. Dad, what do you do for a living? When he comes home. My mother was still work. She was flower arrangements. She worked for Jones Company, Jones Store, near her house, near the Blue Ridge Mall. Then Saks Fifth Avenue. They set up an entire on the plaza, entire floral shop. She'd been in the flower business for years. Okay? They set up a shop, Saks Fifth Avenue. She made him a fortune. And then they closed the store because they weren't selling so much stuff. On the Country Club Plaza in Kansas City, Missouri. Very famous. Got all kinds of restaurants, all kinds of stuff down there. So I took the garage and I converted it into a flower shop for her. I gave her solar, skylights, a door. A construction business was my business. I converted it, paid it out of my own pocket. No bit. Her followers, arrangements, they followed her. She was making a lot of money before she got crippled, more or less. Couldn't walk anymore, her health, etc. And they had to sell their house later in 2008. But my mother was famous for flower arrangements. My father was a heavyweight. Super Spook Otis Johnson calls me up one day. Hollister, after he got out of jail, and he was under protective custody, but he got thrown in the hole for a year and a half by Daddy Bush when he found out he was still running Operation William Casey. His assistant was the guy that busted John Gotti because of laundering the money to Silverado Savings Loan owned by my father-in-law. Anyway, here's the story. Joe and Michelle are selling together. I come back after being sent to Springfield to be analyzed. Shrink testified nothing was the matter with me. In court, the judge released me on bond immediately. $50,000 signature bond to the cash bond. A different judge was appointed, Rich Mates, honest guy. There's a criminal, Sherman Feinsilver, was the one that issued a warrant for my arrest to lock me up. Then, the next day, I recuse him according. He says, get him the F out of here. F-U-C-K out of here now. The guard, he signals me. I walk over there in handcuffs and shackles. I walk over. He says, oh, you pissed that judge off. He's going to be very mad today. I'm sorry that I pissed him off, but hey, I had to get him off my case. He says, stop.
My dog wants to off the phone. Can we cut it right now?
I'm going to finish this because I want you to finish the report.
Now,
what's the dog's name? What's the dog? Okay. Here, I want to finish what I was saying.
Okay.
So, I got their judge recused. Next day, the guards say, Webb, wake up. You got court. I don't have court today. They take me down. A new judge is assigned. Hey, what's your dog's name? I forgot.
Nico.
Shut up, please. Let us do it. No. Hey, we're going to continue this recording. Nico, please. Okay. Nico, listen to me. You put the phone down to his ear before. Now,
Nico,
it's Stu. Hey, we're doing a show. Come on, Nico.
You must be off the phone. I mean, he's not going to stop, Martin. Once he starts, he don't stop.
Okay, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so next day they come and drag me out of the jail cell and take me over to the court. Nico! Stu! Uncle Stu, hey! Okay. So they dragged me to the court, and then they come and throw paperwork down and said, you've been in a hearing. I said, I was in a hearing. I said, another judge is appointing your case. I read it. I go back to my cell. I start praying to Jesus Christ. They're setting me up again, Lord. I'm innocent. You know I'm innocent. I didn't make any terroristic death threats to Leonard Melman or my ex-wife or anything. I'm innocent. Why am I in here? Why am I in here, Jesus Christ? He wanted me there to meet all these people. Otis Johnson, Super Spoke, the one who busted John Gotti, and all these people in Springfield. So, and point is, Judge, the next day I go to, because they couldn't work me, because I was pre-trial, federal pre-trial. They can't make you go clean, cook food or clean anything, even though they did it to me for a couple of days illegally. So, I go down next day, didn't eat dinner that night, didn't eat breakfast. I was so tired praying to Jesus. I go down next day, about 9 o'clock, six or seven other federal, or not federal, but criminals, whatever they were, charged with crimes. They were down in the TV room. And they were all gathered around there. Normally it isn't. It was about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I go down there. I see them all gathered down there. I go down there. I said, what's going on? Breaking news all over Denver. Okay, TV. And they're telling me a federal judge was murdered last night, his son. Sparn, whatever his name was. Federal judge. He worked at Shotgun Willie's. Owned by Bobby Rifkin. Owned by Leonard Melman. Owned by Larry Mizell, the criminals. Owned by Norman Brownstein, Daddy Bush's CIA attorney in 75. Then Melman hired at a law school in 2002. Mizell took over and started building apartments, attorney. Because Melman got 10,000 units per year. Robin Hood, the biggest piggy bank. Then Brownstein, 3 years out of law college, working for Melman, setting up trusts to launder money, narcotics money, and all the illegal money. He goes over and works for Daddy Bush at the CIA in 1975. 72, Melman hired his two clients out of Boulder Law School. They graduated together. Anyway, Mizell runs Richmond American Homes, General Texas, all these other home building companies, and BlackRock, Blackstone, which is the largest bank in the United States, etc. Controls the U.S. Treasury. Melman is set up for Meyer Lansky. When he died in his 70s, the entity, the fallen angel, Otis called them aliens, that registered with the CIA or the NSA. 200,000 of them. The Bible says there were one-third of them out of a million fallen angels kicked to heaven. I mean kicked to the earth when they had the battle in heaven. That'd be 333,000, so they're short 100 and some odd thousand. But the NSA, under the 1952 to 2012 agreement, which has been extended, as Otis told me, in 2017, there's 200,000 of them, and they read your mind. Donald Trump, I could probably name off the ones that were fallen angel possessed in his office that was reading his mind when he was president of the United States. But my memory's short this evening. I'm getting older. But one of the people was one that pushed his campaign. A whole bit. She was one of them. I know what she was. I talked to Otis and he suggested and suspected she was one of them. Now, John Lehrer, who became a friend of mine, his father built the flying saucers in 1952 to 1959 for the government. 150 of them. They're made out of Napoleon, which is element 118, top secret stuff. As it comes back in the atmosphere, it doesn't melt down. The space shuttle is bull. They're 100 years in technology ahead of us. And they have been. That's ever since they made the deal with Adolf Hitler. Now, Adolf Hitler's pilot was Harry Ruck. Orphan, 17 years of age, somebody taught him how to fly at 11. 17 years of age, drafted into the German Army. He was their top pilot. He became a friend of mine, a friend of Otis Johnson's. Okay? I used to meet with him about every 2 weeks in Aurora, Colorado. He told me the horror stories. He became Daddy Bush's pilot when he was vice president, president, and he flew him to the alien base in Papoose Lake, Nevada, out near Area 51. Alien base. Ed Slate was a scientist I met in Las Vegas. He used to take me out to lunch before I left Las Vegas. I rejuvenated his memory. They hit him with some kind of weapon. With Bo Greitz doing a speech, he was doing a speech. He was one of six scientists that lived. They all retired the same day. That evening, five others were dead. 2 weeks later, he's hit with an energy weapon doing a speech at some patriot group in northern Nevada. Bo Greitz, who's a plant of the government, one of the most decorated Vietnam veterans, he was a plant. Okay, I met the bastard a couple, three times. He avoided me. He didn't want to talk to me because he probably knew that I knew who he was. When I did 150 speeches around the country in 1994 to 1995, created GOLD, Guardians of American Liberties, state by state militias, county by county, city by city, no central command. I'm not involved in it. I'm not the central command. People, put a five-star general militia on me in Colorado at a restaurant. Now, 15 of them. They had a special order because you can only buy 4 stars. Special 5-star you can buy. They put it on my coat. I was in the restaurant. We were outside. They saluted me and they appointed me. And they said, you're a 5-star general of the militia. You created a 1.5 million man militia. Yeah, folks, I did. I admit to it. They report in Time Magazine here, Jonathan Beatty wrote the book BCCI. I called up John Stacks and said, you demonized me in your magazine. Fold out, 1995. Stu Webb, anti-Semitic, in charge of GOLD, Guardians of American Liberties. 1.5 million man army and militia. Yeah, it was that much. We did create a militia. I went to 44 states, not 42. John says, oh, Stowe, I'm sorry, that was you? Huh? He remembered me. I want to finish this. I want to finish this, and I want you to finish reporting. There's a reason I'm delivering this speech and this two okay, people tonight. Hang on.
He's looking at me. He's going to keep barking.
He can bark in the background, but hey, I want you to stay here because I've got a couple questions with you, and I'll make it short, but Stack says, stop, John Stack, oh my God, write me a letter, I'll put it in the front page of Time Magazine next week. I didn't write the letter, I never sued him, but this is some of the horror stories I've been through, but Nicole has made a statement. Now, I want you to finish anything in your report because I had to make that statement tonight.
Okay.
Because I'm getting ready to deliver. I'm getting ready to deliver heat on these people. I'm like I've never done before. Go ahead.
Okay. I want anyone who is in a swing state, who's in a city where there is a sanctuary city. And if the local news reports on these crimes by these migrants, I would please implore you to give a call to your state representative and to demand action. And also pray for your fellow citizens that they remain safe and that your families remain safe. I think if everyone's voice is heard, and we put the politicians to account for lost lives, we can turn this around. I think the people's voice is more powerful than ever, especially if we pray about this, because we have authority, authority in God, and also a divine Christian authority to be the brother's keeper, in keeping people safe, and keeping our politicians held accountable for the atrocities of allowing these criminals to come here in this country and victimize. That's it.
Now, I want to add to that real quick. The American people are scared of the government for fear of being arrested, for fear of being arrested, for fear of being charged and arrested with some crime. They're really afraid. I've come to that. I'm convinced of that. And I've talked to too many super spooks types that I met in person. And they're telling me the same thing. Oh, he's his buddies. Oh, he's worked for General Flynn. He was killed in 2017. General Flynn, 2 weeks later, was indicted illegally. And the former prosecutor of the Department of Defense got him off the charge, the female. Forgot her name. Here's the point. They're afraid. And General Flynn keeps coming on different programs. I've even invited him on. But because I saluted him at the airport, he knows I knew Otis. Where I put him on an airplane, they flew to Area 51, Bluffdale, Utah. He comes back and says, "Still, they got 3 stories below ground of artificial intelligence all hooked up to the Israeli's phone company that controls the U.S. government's phone company, a private contractor. It's owned by Bush. It's controlled by Daddy Bush." I put him on the airplane. I'm from Hastings, Nebraska, where he lived, the Grand Island. The general's plane's out there. He says, "Pull in here." I pulled in a security guard. He shows his NSA badge. I show my driver's license. "Go ahead and drive in there." He goes up there. I pull up by the ramp they had pushed up to the General Flynn's plane. General Flynn, National Security Director under Trump, that was illegally indicted, and then the female prosecutor gets him off the charges. I pull up there. He punches the button in his Cadillac in the glove box, opens the trunk. He goes and he says, as soon as I get my bag and stuff, he says, "Leave." He grabs his bag out of the trunk, his clothes, and he goes over and the general came out. He salutes the general, General Flynn, and General Flynn salutes him back. And I'm getting ready to drive off, and General Flynn looks over at me. He salutes me as an ex-Marine. I salute him. I drove off. They flew off to Bluffdale. He comes back and tells me 3 stories below ground, artificial intelligence, beyond belief. It's hooked to an alien base, the one on the south side that you kept talking about to me. He says, "I went into the alien base. I went into it with General Flynn. He showed me around the Fallen Angel base, alien base, on the south side that connects to Richfield, Utah, where I-70 goes through and ends in Utah. I-95, I think it is." And I told him about seeing the tunnel being bored out, driving through there, doing speeches all across the country. I thought the cops had hit me for speeding. Now I was doing about 95 across I-70 there. I see all these lights flashing. It was laser beams coming off the boring machine. I go back there and look, gravel road there, where they were hauling the gravel out of the place. When they do an Air Force boring machine underground, hang on a second, I'm almost through. It does a laser blast all around the top and the bottom and sides. Then they come back and pour concrete in. They got a two-way road, highway, going through the place. I always said, you're correct, they built the alien base in there. He said, then on I-70, and I believe it's I-95 going up to Utah, to Salt Lake City, right there in the southeast corner. He said they put a 40-acre concentration camp for one day when they're going to pick up people like you and other patriots in America. And they're going to put them there, and they're going to give them to the aliens, and they're going to take you in outer space, up on Mars and the other planets they got, and make you a little slave labor, or they're going to kill you. That's what he told me. This guy was NSA, folks. National Security Agency kept you protected every night. Now, I could tell other stories about this guy. He became a friend of mine. Billy Jack. The movie. I was in jail. He was transferred from Illinois because Bush was stealing the oil, and they killed two federal agents, and they blamed him. He was totally innocent. Two other federal agents got killed because the two stealing oil off the Indian reservation in South Dakota. And they made a movie about it around 72, Billy Jack. Leonard Peltier. I became friends with him in jail. They were transferred from Illinois over to the three stories below ground, Supermax, they call it, in Colorado, down there in Pueblo, prison.
He's hungry.
I'm going to let you go. We're going to end the conversation. I met so many people, and one of the reasons I brought all this up is because it needed to be explained. Now, Nicole. Hey, doggy. Please, Nicole.
If he's hungry, I have to feed him.
I understand. I understand. I'm going to play this radio program for a reason. Hey, 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 Uncle Stu here. Come on. Calm down for a minute. Nicole.
Yeah?
Here's the point I'm trying to tell the listeners, besides all this other. The power of prayer, folks. It's the only thing that's going to change the country. The power of prayer. The power of prayer to Jesus Christ, Almighty God. It's the only thing that's going to stop from us being eliminated. Hey, 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 buddy. I know you're hungry.
I'm hungry.
I know you're hungry. Tell him Uncle Stu said shut up for a minute. Please.
All right, make it quick. One more minute.
I want you to pray. I want you to pray because... Thank you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, the 2 weeks that we have to wait, for a decision from Judge McCarthy. I want it, but the whole American people, if not the world, want justice to reign all over the world. And for that to happen, we need Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade to be found incompetent to handle the Trump case, and we want the judge to do what is right, what is honorable, what is just. Give him the courage to do the right thing, even in the face of the adversary who may be pressuring him to do what is wrong. He may have compromised himself to do something that he may later regret it. So I pray tonight, give the Judge McCarthy the courage and the strength to make the right decision and to do your will and to secure the peace and serenity of the United States of America. Amen.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, by your blood, by your stripes, you were stabbed and striped on the cross. My Father, my Lord and Savior, I ask you, Father, to bring judgment upon this Fannie Willis and this other clown or assistant or lover. Bring judgment on them. And you force the judge to do the right thing in this case. Otherwise, Father, take them all out. Take them out and kill them. Get rid of them, Father. I ask for you in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, to do this. You say ask it and command it. I'm commanded to be done. Take them out. Take them out. Jail them. Despoil them. Or bother. Kill them. Whatever it takes. Period. 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 Father, I'm begging for you to intervene. You give angels of protection around Donald Trump and his family. And show righteousness because he's a believer in you. His wife's a believer in you. Jesus Christ, you say command it, and it shall be done. I'm commanding it to be done, Father. I'm asking first. It's up to you, and then I'm commanding it like you say, command it to be done. Thank you, Father, for answering my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.